the September 18, 2018 regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. Please stand for the invocation and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together. Guide us in our decisions. Let our decisions be just. Let our decisions be in the best interest of our community. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. There is a sign-in sheet near the door of the hearing. Please sign this sheet to record your attendance at today's meeting. For those of you who would like to speak, we ask that you sign one of our blue speaker cards. Once you sign one of those speaker cards, please give the card to the staff member at the front table so we can call your name at the appropriate time. There are agendas on the table outside near the door to the hearing room. Today's agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement, and staff recommendation, and there are no known objections. To outline the order in which the meeting is conducted, each petition has a report presented by the staff to the board, providing information on the petition. After staff presentation, board members may ask questions of the staff regarding the presentation for clarification. The petitioner is then offered to make a presentation regarding his petition to the commission. Time frame of 10 to 15 minutes is allowed for the petitioner's presentation. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner as well for clarifications. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. Total public comment time will be 3 minutes per speaker. Now, it's important that we have speaker cards because when I do start to call on our agenda items at the conclusion of the petitioner's address, I will call you to come forward and speak. And at that point in time, please state your name for the record. And at that point, you will have 3 minutes. If you're not certain whether you want to speak or not, still submit a speaker card. You can still decline at the point at which I call your name to come forward. Now, once we've closed the floor for those particular conversations and discussion take place, the board will then take a vote. We will take action on the matter before us. First item on our agenda is the approval of the agenda.
Make an adjustment to the agenda.
Oh, no, that is.
Move item 7 to slot 8, and move item 8 to slot 7.
Been a change to our agenda. It's been properly moved. Then we change the agenda.
Second.
It's been properly moved and second. We'll take a hand vote on that. All in favor? All opposed? The agenda has been adopted as amended. Item 4, notices, proclamations, acknowledgments. September 25th, 2018 planning meeting will be at 1 p.m. here at the Mendoza Hearing Room. We have several items that have been requested to be removed from the final agenda. Item 3, rezoning map amendment. Is anyone here for item number 3? Ma'am, that has been moved to the October 9th, 2018 docket. Yes, October 9th. Okay. Thank you. Item 4, rezoning map amendment. 1 West Victor Drive has been removed from the final agenda. It has been removed from the final agenda. That would be anyone here to speak on that matter. Item 5, rezoning map amendment. 203, 221, 227, 301, 303 West Victor Drive. Anyone here to speak on that matter? Those items have been removed from the agenda. They will be on the October 9th, 2018. Chair will entertain a motion to remove items 3, 4, and 5 from the final agenda.
So
moved.
Second.
It's been properly moved and second. You ready for the vote?
Mm-hmm.
go to the handbook to speed up the process. Handbook, all in favor of removing those items? All opposed? I do have a blue speaker card for item 3 of Mr. Baggs. That item will be on October 9th. If you would please come back, we'd like to. Item 5, item 3 also is a Mr. Westbury. That will be moved to October 9th.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
There's also a speaker card for item number 5, Michael Patilla. That will be moved to the October 9th docket as well. Thank you. No items to be withdrawn. We now have items on the consent agenda. Item 6, August 28, 2018, briefing and regular meeting minutes for approval.
So moved.
Second.
And properly moved and second. We're ready for the vote.
Through 11 are all related. They're all the same project. I'm going to show the general development plan for the entire project. Items 7, 8, 9, and 10 are for 4 buildings on this 2-block development, half within the Victorian District, half within the Mid-City District. Item 11 is the general development plan for this project. In the pre-meeting, as we discussed, as staff is recommending approval for 2 of the buildings for a certificate of appropriateness, and 2 of the buildings for a continuance for a certificate of appropriateness, and then the GDP, Mr. Lars Sanders recommending a continuance for the general development plan as well. As discussed in the pre-meeting, the commissioners want to continue the entire project to be heard at one time. And I'm happy to let you, you know, present anything else you want to hear about the project.
Any questions? Is the petitioner present?
Yes.
Please step forward and state your name, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Christian Sidfield, a petitioner for this redevelopment project. And I'm sorry, I was not present for your pre-meeting, so if I can get caught up on that, we came prepared to present the entire project today. And to and we've been in dialogue with staff on this project extensively over the last several weeks, and we're prepared to address each of the conditions, and in fact, respectfully ask for approval of the project. So we are prepared to begin at any point.
It is our understanding at the pre-meeting there were several items that you and staff are not in agreement with.
And I know I don't think that's the case. In fact, we are in agreement with all the staff conditions on the project, and are prepared to present those in detail so that it's clear to the board. Certainly, please confirm with staff. But we've been working on this project for a year. There's a lot of pieces in it, but We've been working diligently to bring it to you today so that we could present it and hopefully keep the positive momentum going with the project.
You've made staff aware that you have agreed to all of their conditions prior to coming here today?
Yes.
Including the items that you've requested to be continued? Ms. Mahal? Ms. Wilson?
We are asking, at least with the GDP, for a continuance based on the plans that were submitted to us for your review. We have been in discussion with the petitioners, and they are aware of our comments, but we are still asking for continuance to have a clean plan submitted with all of those conditions and all of the items that we discussed at the pre-meeting on the plan so that you can have appropriate time to review it.
Do you understand what is being said? That we do not have everything that you are in reference to. Is that correct, Mr. Wanstead?
That is why we are recommending the continuance, yes,
thank
sir.
Thank you.
And I believe that's in respect to the general development plan, not the master plan, nor the designs for Building A, Building B, Building C, and Building D. And I believe we do, in fact, have the updated general development plan here today in the presentation. I understand that the staff report was issued last week. We've actually had, I think, two meetings since that point, and it was explained that the staff report, because it was previously issued, was already in that process and it could not be amended. But we have, in fact, been working around the clock over the last week to amend the general development plan to bring it forward to you today. We do have it here with us. Is that correct statement? I know we have Michael Roach with Thomas and Hutton Engineering and Anthony Sissel here in our office who in particular have been coordinating to update the general development plan, which would be the final item we're reviewing today. But we could certainly put it first if that was helpful.
Ms. Wilson?
I don't know if this is on.
I think it was on. Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that came up, and it wasn't like as we were doing the high-level discussion on this in the pre-meeting, was more along the lines of there are several things that we agree that work really well. One of the concerning points is that it's so piecemeal that it's very difficult for them to make a decision because we don't have the development plan. As you said, you've been working overnight to come up with making revisions. You may have met all of the concerns that we have, but we have to submit reports to the board in advance. And from a staff standpoint, it's kind of not necessarily that fair even to us to come in with a set of plans that we haven't even had a chance to check to see if it meets the requirements. So I don't want you to leave here thinking that there are things that we don't agree in, that we're wanting to stifle the momentum. We're wanting to have a clean approval process so that, you know, whatever the final recommendation is, if you have to get additional variances or whatever, it's easier to move to the next step instead of waiting for different pieces to come. So that's why the recommendation is what it is. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that you have started addressing some of the concerns that we've expressed. And on behalf of staff and board, I know that I appreciate you doing that. It's just the timing of it all. So that's why it was recommended that it be heard at the October 9th meeting. Mm-hmm. We'll put you first on the agenda.
Okay, we're ready.
We'll put you first on the agenda, but that's what the concern was.
Sure. Well, I apologize. That's just, of course, new information to us. We can't fully prepare to present today. We'll look forward to presenting to this board at the time of your pleasure as soon as possible.
Right. And again, when I spoke with staff, I thought that they had all of the revisions that we had expressed during the meeting when staff just kind of talked about your project.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that you didn't have all of those things submitted until probably at the end of the day on Friday, or actually maybe even today. So it's just timing and sequencing. But our goal is just for future projects, we need to have all revisions, anything that's in discussion, before we send the plans out. We need to have enough time to do the review as staff so that we can give appropriate recommendations, because we probably would have changed our staff report so that it would reflect some of the things that you have done. So thank you again for, you know, your patience in working with us to get a plan that everybody can agree on.
Okay. Thank you. We understand.
We need a motion.
I'll make a motion to continue items 7 through 11 to the October 9th agenda.
Second. It's been properly moved and second. We're ready for the vote. Thank you, Mr. Satir. Thank you. We deeply appreciate it. Thank you. While we are voting, I do have several speaker cards for items 7 to 11. Item 7 is Daniel Walter. That matter will be continued until October the 9th. Construction, Victorian District, Ms. Mahalik.
Thank you. Construction of a three-story apartment building. The property that's currently vacant at 120 Duffy Street. We are recommending approval with conditions. I do want to go over those conditions. This is a site plan. So this is an adjacent historic building. This is a vacant lot, and this is the proposed building here. Regarding the development standards, this is in a 3R zoning district. And second floor plan. This is a multifamily dwelling with three or more bedrooms per unit, so 9 bedrooms, 3 units. The lot area per unit requirement for each of those units is 1,245 square feet. For a total of a minimum of 3,735 square feet for their lot. Unfortunately, their lot does not meet that standard, so they're above their permitted lot area per unit, and so staff is recommending reducing one of these three units, one on each floor, to a 2-bedroom from a 3-bedroom, and that would immediately bring them into compliance. They're also requesting we are also requesting that they revise their front yard setback. We don't have a lot of context drawn in here for reference, but the one that is drawn in, again, is a historic building, and we feel that the front yard setback is, per this drawing, significantly further ahead than the other ones, so we would actually request that they submit a drawing with more of the immediate context, and if we still feel that the setback isn't sufficient, then we would request that they revise that setback. Regarding the building height, you're probably going to hear me say something today that you've never heard me say. We are We are recommending that they increase the height of this building. Particularly as it pertains to the floor-to-floor heights for the first and second floor, not necessarily the third floor or the foundation height, but from the adjacent context that they've provided, you can see that there's a significant difference in height there. So again, we're asking that they provide us more context, especially in reference to other three-story historic buildings, and that potentially raise the height of this building. Just a couple of small things regarding the materials. They're proposing a 2-inch high seam on the roof. We just want a 1-inch seam. And they're proposing fiberglass doors, and we want to put wood or wood-clad doors. Again, the rest of these are just a couple of small things, which is why we're recommending approval. We want to have these HVAC units screened from view of the street. And they're proposing a projecting brick water table here, which is very atypical in this district. So we're literally just asking that they remove this projecting brick band that you see around here, and then the siding would go over the brick foundation just like every other building in the area. So we are recommending approval with those five conditions to reduce the one of the units to a 2-bedroom unit to meet the lot area standard, to revise the site plan drawing to show the footprints of more buildings along this block and increase the front yard setback if necessary, revise the elevation drawings to show the surrounding buildings and increase the height if necessary, add fences to screen the equipment and remove the water table, reduce the height of the metal roof seam, ensure the siding has a smooth finish, and revise the material of the entry doors. Because otherwise we feel it's visually compatible, and we would, again, we recommend approval and that this come back to staff to review these few changes that we're asking.
Mr. Watson, you had something you wanted to add to that?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, I think Ms. Mahalik might have just addressed it. I was just going to ask her to explain for the board and the public the process, since we're recommending approval with these conditions, on how that is handled with the revision.
So this decision would say with conditions to be approved by staff, they would resubmit the set of drawings to staff. We would confirm that the conditions are met before stamping their drawings, before they can apply for a building permit. So they would not be able to get a building permit until these conditions are met.
Any questions, Ms. Mahalik? It's a petitioner present. You may step forward, so, and state your name for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is James Wobina. I'm the architect of record on this project. We've been working with the staff on this project from conceptual drawings all the way up until now. And their comments, we don't have any problems making those adjustments on any of them. In fact, we agree that the building next door is a much larger building than height-wise and even width-wise than what we have to deal with or work with, so we can definitely raise the building when it comes to that matter. As far as the density goes, we have already reduced the third floor to a 2-bedroom because it was tight with the way the roof sort of swoops inward. So it actually made more sense for us to do that anyways. As far as the setback on the front goes, we don't have a problem adjusting the plan to make sure that we are sort of in line with even not just necessarily the next door building, but two or three buildings down the line. The building next door to us does project out a little bit further than some of the other buildings do, and so we'll try to tuck it back, and even if that means reducing the footprint a little bit, we'll make sure that we meet the setback requirement on the front, at least to the staff's approval. And as far as materials go, we're changing all the doors to half-light wood doors, so it would be what the staff is requesting. Standing seam is 12 inches apart, 1-inch rib, so that's also meeting what they were requesting. The hardy is definitely smooth finish, and let's see, And we're already working on the streetscape to extend our elevation, especially the one sheet, so that you see about two or three different buildings down the line, so you get more of the neighborhood. And we're also going across the street, so we're going to do two different sections, so that you'll be able to see, because there are some different heights and variables on all these buildings on that particular block, and even the adjacent block. So our current height kind of is in the middle of it all. Unfortunately, it's sitting next to a fairly tall building, so we'll raise it. But what we are asking is the board's approval to allow us to go ahead and make these conditions and get these conditions met, bring them to the staff, and let us move forward.
Any questions, Mr. Rubina? There being none, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I have two speaker cards. One is Andre Patterson. If you would please state your name for the record.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Andre Patterson, president of the Victorian Neighborhood Association. I'm here to basically support staff's approval with the conditions. My vehemence, biggest issues have to do with the front setback, and also we want to make sure that there's plenty of room to park in the back. So oftentimes, you can't put the cars there, but we're going to be able to open the doors. So we want to make sure that also is taken care of. And that's it. Thank you.
Any questions of Ms. Patterson? Thank you, ma'am. I have another speaking card for a gentleman I think we're familiar with, Mr. Daniel Carey. Please state your name for the record, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Daniel Carey, representing Historic Savannah Foundation. We agree with staff's recommendations. We concur with the Victorian Neighborhood Association's comments as well. And I was pleased to see the petitioner be so willing to work out those conditions. I really just wanted to make a quick public service announcement, which is hopefully for the benefit of the petitioner and anyone else out there, that Historic Savannah Foundation's Architectural Review Committee is always happy to sit down with architects, developers, and designers and work with them on these designs, whether it comes before the Historic District Board of Review or MPC, so in the other historic districts. We're happy to do that. And that's not monopolizing the design process, but it's just contributing some comments up front, I think, that might help projects work their way through the process before they arrive here, and we just want to make that offer.
Thank you, Mr. Carey. Any questions of Mr. Carey? Thank you, sir. There's no more speaker cards for this matter. The chair will entertain the motion.
Motion to approve the recommendation.
Second. And properly moved and seconded. We're ready for the vote. Motion carries. Next on our agenda is item number 13, special use amendment.
Mr. Chairman, we have submitted the staff report to the petitioner recommending continuance. It is our understanding that they are in agreement with that and would like to continue the case to October 9th. I would ask Mr. Josh Yellen, he is here on behalf of the petitioner, to formally ask for that continuance.
Mr.
Hi there, Josh Yellen on behalf of the petitioner H. Timms. We would like to request a continuance for this matter to October 9th as well. It should be a very exciting meeting, as you will be aware of on the 9th. Bring your lunch and dinner with you. But at staff's request, we will be providing additional information regarding the proposed text amendments to the PUD.
Mr. Yellen, is Hunter McClain providing us with dinner? Thank you, Mr. Yellen. The petitioner is in agreement with staff to continue the matter. Chair will entertain it. It's been properly moved. Second, we'll take a hand vote very quickly. All in favor? All opposed? The matter is continued to October 9th. Thank you, Mr. Yellen. I'm sorry, there were no student cards. Item number 14, Mr. Williams. Thank you, Mr. Coles.
Good afternoon. At issue today is a request to rezone three parcels located on the east side of White Bluff Road. This is down by where it becomes close to Abercorn. Here is the Truman Parkway as it enters the Abercorn extension. Request to rezone these parcels from R6, that's the standard single-family residential classification, predominant zoning district in the city, to BN, neighborhood business. We find staff is recommending denial in this case on several grounds, including the fact that the proposed zoning designation is inconsistent with the future land use map, which identifies the subject property as residential. The fact that adjoining properties are on three sides, residential, and on a third side, a church and institutional property. And the fact that there is a significant potential for negative impacts if this zoning change is adopted, given that we have to consider the full scope of potential uses that a neighborhood business classification would allow, which includes fuel service stations, dry cleaners, and the like, while we're unaware of which particular use is being proposed, all these uses would be permitted. And given that they're in such close proximity to residential single-family properties, we felt that it was not there was not a sufficient rationale in this case.
Just to reference the parcels.
So these are the parcels. They're currently wooded and adjacent. You have single-family residential homes here. The existing zoning is all R6. And the parcels. It's a future land use. So civic institutional, residential, suburban, single-family for the entirety of what's being suggested here.
What's the name of the school?
Any questions of Mr. Williams? Is the petitioner present? Would you please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon, I'm Holly Young. The recommendation of MPC was for us to ask for neighborhood business on these parcels in the rezoning process. The lady that wishes to purchase these is actually wanting to open up a neighborhood deli. It's just down the street from the new Wendy's, if you're familiar with that area, on the other side of White Bluff Road. So I'm not sure if there is another category that maybe would limit some of the possibilities for fueling stations and as such that would be allowed. So I'm just asking for help in determining if that is something that we should reapproach.
Any questions from Ms. Young? Ms. Wilson, do you have something you want to add?
Just Just very quickly, one of the other items to consider with this is that, as you can see on the east side of White Bluff Road, there's a tremendous amount of business zoning right now, and all of that is not filled. On the west side, or excuse me, on the east side rather, you've got residential and you've got an elementary school. Normally, zoning lines stop at natural or hard boundaries. You've got a hard line where you've got commercial that is not even totally utilized that's stopping. If you go across the street, it becomes very difficult. It doesn't matter whether you limit it to one use or not, because once it gets the zoning, then people can come in and start adding a multitude of uses. So therefore, it's not consistent with the land use ordinance or the comprehensive plan, and it is not something that we felt was consistent with the development patterns out in this community in light of the amount of commercial development that you've got already.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson. Chair will entertain a motion. So the motion to approve staff recommendation.
I have a question, yes. Ms. Wilson. What you just explained on the east side of White Bluff is the school. Right across the street from that, you've got the edible, you got the auto dealer and a strip.
Right. And in addition to that, if Marcel will pull up the map, you've got a situation where these lots are not shallow. You've got residential, where you've got residential uses that are currently facing White Bluff. While White Bluff has been a road that's been approved, it is still, the lot is wooded. You still can develop it for a house or a residential use without introducing another commercial or business use on the other side of the road. It doesn't matter whether it's a neighborhood business or not. You've got a ton of commercial, as you can see, on the west side of White Bluff Road that's not even developed.
I'm asking the petitioner.
Yes, Mr. Branch.
Thank you, Chairman Irvin. What is the property just to the north of these two properties? Is it a daycare or something? Or?
You point out that property.
The purpose is of Robert rules. We have a proper motion on the floor. For purposes of Robert rules order, we have a proper motion on the floor that could either be seconded or not, and then we can have the discussion that we're having now.
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded. We are now ready for discussion. Mr. Branch, you're making team.
I just want to, this doesn't appear to be a residence with a semicircular driveway like that. It looks more like maybe it's been converted to commercial use, and I just want to make sure of that.
Even if it is something that, right now, when you have residences that face kind of a little bit larger corridors, you do have circular drives or some means where people don't have to back out. So usually people will have a different driveway pattern. The zoning, however, is residential. The other point, too, just for your consideration to remember, is that you can have a daycare center in your house. You know, it's considered as a home occupation, so that is not a commercial use. It doesn't change, you know, anything with regards to development activity. So that's the other piece also to consider. But all of that over there is under R6.
Yes, Mr. Welch.
I do know that this area very well, but I do know that, like you were saying, that the commercial business across the street has caused a lot of these homes on the opposite side of the street to go up for sale because of this happening in this area. Just before you get to the church that's to the right of this property, and I believe that's the Southside EMS across the street from this property. But even some of the homes that were on the left side of the street, when we get this right, that's where Edible is and everything else, and Piccadilly Square and all. those homes have become businesses. Mm-hmm. They once developed into a dentist office. I thought the house should have been condemned myself, but they went into a, you know, they went in and restructured the home. And a lot of those homes on that side of the road have been made businesses. And I see the same thing that's probably going to happen across the street where this woman's property is, because there's, every time I go in, there's been a house that's been up for sale there for now another 3 or 4 years. And nobody's buying the property to live there as a home because of what's happening around that area. But there's an adjoining neighborhood right behind it. So, I mean, I get your point.
And generally, in situations like this, where you do have, you know, a major street, you've got, this is where, this is kind of a land use kind of 101. When you have the zoning that you've got across the street, generally you create a transitional area. So a more appropriate thing may have been having, you know, a lower or density or some height restrictions office to transition back to the neighborhood. But when you start adding business on the other side of the street, that opens up a whole nother Pandora's box, because you end up having the same concerns that you've got right now with what has happened on the west side of White Bluff Road. So, you know, those are things that as we move forward with doing some updates to our comprehensive plan and start doing a little bit more strategic area planning, we will address with regards to trying to create some transitional areas to soften the blow of areas that have already had a lot of business zoning or on those strips. You just don't want to have a long corridor of nothing but businesses.
I will, if I can speak just a second, I will say there were two residential homes on the two lots that were removed because they could not get renters because of, you know, the traffic there going in and out just was not feasible to use as residential. And buffering, is that something that could be addressed at the site plan level if this were allowed to go forward to protect some of the neighborhood residential properties? It just, to me, White Bluff Road is kind of becoming a main corridor. It's not really the use as residential there, as Mr. Welch said, doesn't really make sense anymore. I mean, the few homes that are still located along there, I think it's not an opportunity to change those to commercial. Seems like the better use of land along the main road there on commercial professional maybe instead of you know, a light commercial use. But the lady that owns these, you know, I mean, she's basically not being able to sell these as residential. Nobody wants to build a home there. So it is becoming a problem, not only with her property, but I would say with the other properties located in that same district that front White Bluff Road.
We have a properly placed motion that has been seconded and ready for the vote.
Almost an acre.
Okay, because some of those things really need to be kind of on this.
Motion has been to approve staff's recommendation. Presentations. We have no other business. Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Hold on. Did you ask me a question?
No.
Okay.
Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Properly moved and second. Stand adjourned.